Hello and welcome to That Happens, the only podcast whose introduction bit is that it does a different thing every single time, and the thing it does isn't particularly good, and you can't necessarily put like a finger on what the bit is really supposed to be, because it tends to go into one of three major buckets. The first bucket, the normal intro. The second bucket, the Kevin and the Spleen intro. The third bucket, the kind of subverting the need for an intro intro. I guess I would put this one in the third bucket if I had to. So yeah, that's what the show is.
That's kind of a good description of the whole show.
Yeah, I'm filling in for Spencer today. So we're exploring, you know, a certain kind of episode that Happens likes to put out. Isn't that right, Kevin?
It is. It's the one where we don't really know what we're doing until we're doing it.
No, see, that's the bucket. That's called that's the podcast bucket.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's the larger bucket. Now these kinds of episodes, there's the bucket of have food and snacks and don't know what to talk about. There's have food and snacks and have a vague idea of what to talk about. There's have food and snacks and have a lot to talk about, but get so distracted by the food that we don't talk about it. There's not having food or snacks and having something to talk about. There's not having food or snacks and really be flailing for something to talk about. There's depression episodes. You know, honestly, this might be one of those. There's guest episodes. There's anime episodes. And there are kind of like ham-fisted makeup episodes because we're trying to fill a slot. Because, you know, we recorded a couple episodes in LA and, you know, the release schedule is kind of wonky. And then there's Halloween. This is that bucket is, I think, the main bucket. I don't even think this is a full episode. That's the thing, is that Spencer, his deal is only for full sized episodes. And if we release mini-sodes, mobisodes, what other sodes, Kevin? Soda-sodes?
Yeah, soda-sodes is what I was going to say there. Yeah, it's been a while since we've had actually a full soda-sode.
Yeah, it's been a while since we had a full soda-sode. But this is one of these kind of episodes. I don't think it's going to be full. Anyway, what I was trying to say is that Spencer, he has the option to do mini-sodes, but he's not obligated to do them.
Okay.
But yeah, but what you were saying, we haven't done a full soda episode. And I've been thinking, you know, we did the Adventure-tunity Rant-a-do Manifesto. Wait, that was way better. Holy shit. We got to listen back to the playback on that. What was it? Rant immunity. Rant immunity.
Man, I can't.
Shit. If only there was like a go back, like if you know, this is a podcast. It needs like a rewind 30 seconds button, right? Don't you think? Wouldn't that be great? It is a podcast.
That would be a great feature.
Mountain Festo. It was something like that. It was like Rant Munism Mountain Festo.
I would look it up right now, but my computer has crashed halfway to the point that I can't, like, I'm literally like, I can't click on anything. Nothing's working.
No, that's a whole different bucket, Kevin. That's a whole different bucket. That's the Kevin's tech fuck ups bucket.
We can't even end the show.
Are we going? Usually when this happens, the episode is fine and we can keep going without thinking.
The recording thing is still flashing. So I think so, but like literally I can't do anything right now.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, anyway, what I was saying is that we got to do another, Mountain Dunity Rantifesto or something. But it, you know, where it's the power hour every minute, you know, we drink the soda, but every, like, the rant, instead of being a rant, we're going to be just coming up with things that we're thankful for the whole episode.
Okay.
I think that seems like a good
idea and a decent spiritual successor to the Mountain Dunity Rantastution.
I think so too. I think that's a very positive, upbeat kind of thing.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it, but I'm a positive guy.
Okay.
A lot of episodes lately, I've come in with the intention to show more gratitude to Kevin, to the audience, to the people who come on the show, to just people I have relationships with and friendships with, you know. And then I see the glowing double zero flash in, and I'm like, Kevin, end the episodes. And that's the time where I should be saying, Kevin, I'm going to thank a bunch of people, you know, but that's not what happens.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So there's a couple new things on screen. This is great. This is a great episode, you guys. I got a new stuffed animal, Kevin. You see that? It's a Pokemon.
Oh, I do. Yes.
That's Ampharos or Ampharos. One of my favorite, it was from Gold and Silver Gen, right? Pokemon in that whole game. Man, Gold and Silver was great. But over here, Kevin, I also got, this is Rena. This is the dog. Sometimes you might hear her barking on the show.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't really look like much. She kind of blends in with the blob of blankets I got.
I thought she left. Yeah, I see her now. Yes.
Yeah, she kind of has adjusted herself, but she's here too. And we're thankful for her. But anyway, that's an episode that I wanted to lay down because it has been feeling like we got to just drink way too much soda at some point soon. And I have a bunch of soda. I have so much fucking soda right now. I got like two honeydews left. I got fucking game fuel. I have the dragon fruit. I have summer freeze. I'm fucking dude up from the shootout. You know what I'm saying? And I'm about to shoot up.
I do, yeah.
The federal building. Folks, you can take the spleen out of the forest, but you can't take the forest out of the spleen because I chopped it all down for firewood. I burnt my wife. That's probably enough spleen,
oh,
right?
No.
I burnt my wife, Kevin.
Is there ever enough spleen? You gotta help me.
I burnt my wife.
Okay, start from the beginning. What happened here?
Oh, I was handing her a plate of cheese, hot molten cheese. And I said, now careful, grab it by the handle. It's hot. And she's like, it's not that hot. And I was like, honey, trust me, it's hot. And she's like, oh yeah. And she puts her finger right in the dead center of that bowl.
I don't think you can blame yourself for that one, really, to be honest with you.
I burnt my wife, Kevin. She pulls out her finger. Nothing but bone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like that may have been too hot, actually.
Yeah, it's like that McDonald's lawsuit thing where it's like, yeah, it seems like this lady's being so crazy. Like she dipped her finger in the cheese. Like no one forced her to do that. But yeah, cheese should not be burning you to the finger bone. But so I'm thankful for that.
Okay.
I'm thankful for burning my wife's finger.
Okay. Yeah. I was trying to figure out where you're taking that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it's good to be thankful that maybe it wasn't worse.
Oh man. Yeah. No, if that, we wouldn't have found the Bitcoin wallet if we didn't go to the ER that day. So that's a whole other story, Kevin.
Okay.
I was going to say that's how we found out, you know, that's how we found a tumor, but it would be funnier if instead of finding a tumor, we found a Bitcoin wallet. What did you say? Oh, boy. I'm trying to quit weed again, Kevin. It sucks. It sucks, Kevin. So, I forgot. I was done doing the spleen. I forgot about it.
So what is it you think that makes you start and stop the way you have since I've known you?
Well, it's cool.
It is.
To be high. And it feels good. And my brain. Now, here's the tricky part, Kevin. My brain is addicted to it. You see?
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's just, I don't know. The problem is you want to be high, but there's a lot of subtlety about smoking weed outside of just becoming high, you know? Like there's tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
There's all the different products and strains that work different amounts. You know, there's the side effects. Like, the thing about weed is it's so subtle that it's really hard to tell the difference between the two modes. And I don't just mean being high versus being sober. I mean, like, there's a weed hangover that you get where you're still kind of stupid, but you're not messed up. And so you're just like, it's kind of like being in a lower gear in a car or something, where it's like, I'm still on the road. I'm still going, but it feels like I'm not going the right speed, you know? And that's not like, that's not high versus not high. That's like the day after smoking weed versus like 2 days after smoking weed or something, you know, like it takes a while to get to actually like back to smart, I guess I would say. And so like, I'm finding that a lot of my capacity is more diminished farther outside of just the window of being high than I have come to associate. And I smoke a lot often and a lot of, you know, substance. So it's not just like, oh, I'm always high, so it's always a problem. It's also like, again, there's this like this aura of fogginess almost that can extend more than, you know, 20 hours in either direction. I don't know. But it's just, it's not good for me. And that's what I'm finding. I don't know. Well, here's the thing. I'm in a long distance relationship, and I didn't tell my girlfriend that I started smoking weed again. And she had to like guess that that was happening based on my changed behavior. And I don't know. We kind of argued about it a little. Argue sounds wrong, but like we talked about it because she wasn't happy with it. And like, I was like, okay, this makes sense. I can imagine being upset in this scenario. Your feelings are valid. It never seemed to me, like it never occurred to me that it was an important thing to do in a relationship, a long distance relationship, to share that with your partner, you know? It just never occurred to me like that, I mean, I made a choice not to tell her because I'm an addict and like trying to tell people like, oh, I'm engaging in a thing I've had problems with is like a scary thing. So it's not like I was like, oh, I forgot to tell her, you know, it's not like that, but it's like, I didn't want to, but also just in my mind, it wasn't like I'm doing harm to the relationship by not saying this, you know, by not bringing this up. And that, I don't know, just like the past few days or something, I was like, yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I haven't been in very many relationships. Not that that's an excuse, but like, I would imagine that if I had like a normal slate of relationships across my life, it probably would have occurred to me by now, what am I, 36? That, yeah, that's something you'd probably share with your partner. But it, yeah, I realized that it wasn't. So I don't know. I don't really remember. Audience, you don't know this, but Kevin's computer came to life and we had to fucking kill it. And it was like a whole days long battle. So I don't remember exactly how we got down this train of thought, but you know, it's not good for me to be smoking weed when it's harming a relationship. It's not, I mean, I was not in a relationship before when I was like, oh, I got to quit. This is bad for my life. But you know, that was when it was like seemingly only ruining my life or something. And now it's harming, you know, other people. It's like, that's not okay. But, It's just weird because I don't know. It's not like we ever had a relationship where I was like smoking and she's like, "I hate it when you smoke. You should quit smoking." And then I did. And then I was like, "Oh, aren't you so, isn't this so great? I'm doing, I quit and you love it." And then, "Oh no, you're smoking in the garage. I thought I, you know," it's not like that, but it's interesting. I don't fucking know, man. But I'm
I mean,
thankful
not to
for
get
weed. I'm thankful
too
for weed.
personal about anything that you don't want to talk
Sure.
about here, but
Yeah.
is it about the weed or is it about the reasons why you started smoking again that are the core thing that's not being talked about?
Well, that's what's hard to say, you know, because think about it. Like, okay, imagine we had a problem in the relationship and I dealt with it by smoking. That's possible. Imagine I had a problem that I should have solved and dealt with by smoking, and then that caused a problem in the relationship. You know, imagine my addiction is causing it. Like, there's all these possibilities. Like, but also just like I'm an insecure, anxious person, and weed amplifies that. And so, like, it's also just putting me in a mode where I'm showing up as a worse version of myself in a long distance relationship with less to offer than I had been without any seeming explanation. You know, that's the kind of thing that I'm sure people are like, "Oh, are they not interested in me? Are they like cheating on me or something?" You know, it's like this weird change that you don't even know how to bring it up almost. And there's kind of like an extent to which you're like, "Am I being crazy? Am I overreacting? Am I just imagining things?" You know, and so that's like what I inflicted. And it was because of the not communication. There's a version of this that all could have been fine and no one felt bad over. And it just never occurred to me because I'm a fucking dipshit, you know? And also was ashamed and, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's tough. My whole life I've had insecure attachment, right? And so that means don't bring up when I have a problem. Because if I bring up that I have a problem, that makes me a problem for a person I'm already insecure about. It also means I'm a person that brings up problems to them. Like, I'm a guy who has problems all the time. You gotta fix all this stuff, you know? And I don't know. There's all these buckets, Kevin. But I don't know. Yeah, what I'm trying to say is that the way I am not good in relationships, I think what I know about weed is that it amplifies all those traits in me, which is bad for someone who doesn't have security or experience to create healthy self-esteem that they could use to leverage in a relationship to show up as an, you know, effective member of the partnership or whatever, you know. I don't know. So like, but if a problem in our relationship is I am being insecure, then weed is like, so now I'm more insecure and I'm insecure about the weed, and the weed probably affects other things that I was also insecure about. And so now, like, talking about the weed becomes harder because that's like a source of insecurity that feeds into other sources of insecurity, you know? And then, so then it's like, then I don't want to talk about like that I'm struggling with it and I want to quit again, you know, because then it's like, oh, you know, I don't know, you know, it's just like what I've done in the past is I've quit weed and I've lost weight and I've just shown up and been like, "Hey, look, I lost weight. Look, I'm sober. Look what I've done." And everyone's like, "Hey, that's great." And so, like, I think in my head, that was just like, that was the plan. It's like, well, I'll stop. I quit smoking a ton of times. I'll just quit again and it'll be fine, you know? But that's thinking long term and not like considering the short term implication and long term and short, whatever, whatever. What I'm trying to say is that I'm thankful for Zoom. Buy the premium Zoom prescription so you can, it's a prescription. You have to get it from your doctor or ophthalmologist. Ophthalmologist? What even is that? I meant to say optometrist.
Someone who advises you on positive thinking.
Yeah. So an ophthalmologist is an eye doctor? What the fuck? Oh, they're like eye surgeons. Okay, great, 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 great. It's just fucking great, Kevin. Thankful for that too. Thankful for the internet. You know, I know I'm old, Kevin. We don't know how long this episode's gonna be. God damn it. What a scattered episode. See, right now, what the way I am right now, this is like weed hangover. This is like, I'm not stupid. I'm not high. It's like yesterday was like the last time or whatever. But I'm still not there. You know, like I'm not able to summon the word. Not that I'm like amazing at summoning words, but I can feel the words not being there, and it's not being high. It's anyway, the hangover. I lost my train of thought. We don't know how long the podcast has been going. This was only supposed to, we probably should have told, well, we did it, right? It's not a full size episode. This is just a mini episode. I'm sorry. I've been dealing with shit. I feel like I'm so busy, Kevin, spinning all these plates. And for who? And for what? And for why? You know? I got a D&D game coming up on the weekend. I'm like, I have so much shit that I have to do. And I'm just doing like a D&D game. I'm just gonna go through all that to add that to my plate. I have to do the podcast that no one cares about, you know? And I gotta try to start a new web series that no one's gonna care about. That probably won't even get two episodes recorded, you know? Like, I got all this shit that I'm like failing to half-ass. And for what? It just sucks. I work a part-time job, Kevin. I don't know how this works. I don't know how this works. I work a part-time job. I leave my house at 7 a.m. and I get back at like 5.
That
It's
doesn't
like,
sound like a part-time job.
no, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't it, I think the term 9 to 5 is evil and it should be ruined because 9 to 5 doesn't include lunch hour or whatever. And so 9 to 5 jobs aren't really 9 to 5. So like my job, if it were an 8-hour shift, it would be 9 to 5, but instead it is 7 to 5. But I don't even get 8 hours. Like, so it's like, how does that work? It's like 10. And I don't even live far from work either. That's what's so crazy. It's not like I've worked the job I had last. I had like an hour long commute basically, either way. And that was the same thing. Ugh, whatever. This is unintelligible. I mean, you know, sometimes that's a bucket of episodes too, right? Is Spencer is losing his mind. I guess it's a depression episode that counts.
Yes.
We gotta codify these buckets. We gotta go. We should start a podcast. It's a That Happens recap podcast where we re-listen to That Happens and we pick a favorite moment, you know? We could rate how good the episode title was, and if we have any alternate episode titles, we could put it in the buckets of what episode we would classify this as. I've always wanted to do a thing where we could probably do this pretty soon, right? How many episodes do we have of this shit? 200?
213 or
Yeah.
so.
Once we get to 256, we can have a perfect champion bracket pitting every episode against one another. And every
Okay.
episode from that point forward, we could have one bout where we have to vote on which episode, and we'll find the best episode of the first 256 episodes. So that'll be 128, then 64. It'll be in the ballpark of 256 episodes. So by the time we get to episode 512, we'll know the true best of the first 256 episodes we've recorded.
I like the way you think. That's a lot of long-term planning, but I like the way you think.
By the time we get there, then the 512 can face off against the winner of the first 256. That's
Okay.
like something, this is like an idea I've had so many times. I definitely really like that idea. I don't know how to do it because I think you want to do it with something that matters or something that people care about, not my podcast, you know? You could probably do it with Harmontown. That could be interesting. Should we start a Harmontown recap podcast? Hey, it's me and Dave Klein. We're back in the studio. iHeartRadio has brought us back together for a look back on your favorite podcast, Harmontown. You still listen to the Harmontown episodes? You fucking loser. I know you are. I know you're on your fucking 26th watchdown and you're on your 15th Reddit thread asking anyone else if they've been able to find anything to fill the whole Harmontown left. But me and Dave Klein, we're gonna go behind the scenes. We'll talk to Adam Goldberg. We'll talk to Big Red, reminiscing about our on-set days and all the crazy happenings, all the pranks. Do you guys know that Jeff Davis was a major behind-the-scenes prankster on the set? You know, he's full method. Jeff Davis is full method. Yup, that's Dave Klein. That's what he would say. What if I host the recap podcast? Okay, so this is the idea, Kevin.
All right.
This is the idea. I host the cast. It's Harmontown Rewatch or whatever the fuck. Well, the title, you know, working title, etc. And it's, you know, Harmontown Watchdown with Spencer and Dave Klein. And the premise is that it's hosted by both of us. But we just have like a Staples button that just has Dave Klein going, yoop. And we just hit it, you know, and it's like, isn't that right, Dave? And that's like the bit is that he's on the pod, but it's not. And then, you know, you're the pod producer, obviously. And we had to get a guest every episode, but it's me and Dave Klein and a guest.
Okay. You know? I think this has legs.
I kind of think it does. kind of might. I don't know. I don't know. I have a lot of baggage that I have basically left completely locked in a closet somewhere in my mind around Harmontown. So I don't know that I have the guts to go back through it per se. Maybe I do. I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't listened to any of it since it ended.
Yeah.
And like occasionally, like I'll go on the Harmontown subreddit and they'll be talking about an episode that I swear did not happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I look and it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that says about me.
It says more about you than it says about me, I'll tell you that much. Okay, so you texted me and then I said, let me log on. We're probably under 30 minutes right now. That's not bad. I mean, I don't know. I'm having a great time, Kevin.
Good. That's how you should be podcasting.
And I'm thankful for having a great time.
is this a Thanksgiving prelude, or are you just feeling thankful today?
I'm just trying to get in the habit of on the show performing thanks. Okay. Makes it sound like it's fake. I'm actually like it's a habit I want. I am being more grateful in my normal life. I think I maybe said this on the last podcast. I don't know. But lately I've been really grateful for the function of my body. The fact that my body functions, I've been trying to be very mindful about that because I have a lot of chronic pain. I've dealt with stuff, you know, I've talked about a lot of the various stuff I've dealt with, but fact is I can walk, I can move around, I can bend down, I can lift heavy stuff. You know, I've moved apartments basically on my own multiple times. That's great. It's amazing. I've been so grateful and thinking about it so much that like a fucked up part of me is like, this is like, you're about to get like paralyzed by a truck or something. like you're thinking about this in a foreshadowing sort of way, you know? But yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry for talking your ear off, Kevin, but Kevin's not been feeling so good. Kevin was just in LA and we haven't talked about that at all. Kevin, tell us.
I mean, it was really great recording those two episodes while I was there. Like I kind of wish that was what the show was permanently.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that worked really well. There's so many good responses to the last two episodes that I, you know, I think they really let you kind of stretch your legs as an interviewer, and sure, that worked really well.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. There's not really like, okay. Supposing I said, I want to make a harsh turn into just being an interviewer. That's something I care about doing. What would the move be? Like, would it to be to try and like set up like a kind of YouTube channel or something where it's like we're doing video interviews? Would it be to try and like get a job? Like media is so dead. It's like I don't think anyone would be able to find a job like as an interviewer per se, you know, but like that is something that I, you know, when we have a guest and I'm interviewing them, I feel so much better about the show, even though, you know, sometimes I think we get more funny when we're just, you know, delirious fucking around. But I definitely feel like I have stuff I want to learn. I have questions I want to learn. You know, I'm interested in the person. I'm interested in the conversation. You know, whereas when we talk, it's a fucking nightmare. I hate it. No, but I don't know. It does feel competent. Like it feels like it's working, you know, and it feels like there's a groove and a flow and it feels good. And I would like to do that more, but I don't really know other than like saying like, hey, let's go hard into booking guests. Like, I don't really know how to like move towards that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's step one. And mm-hmm. then you know, try to figure out what feels natural from there of like, you know, where do you want to take that after we try booking a bunch of guests? And, you know, most of the guests we've had so far are people that you've known.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we throw some curveballs in there where I booked somebody that you've never met before.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's true. Yeah. You pitch people, but we basically haven't done a lot of people that weren't my like bud, basically.
But I think when you do know the person, you're very comfortable with them, and that shows.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the episode that Abed was just on with us, it just felt like the three of us were just sat on the couch chatting.
Yeah.
And that's very natural, and I think that's very comforting for people to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what podcasts are supposed to be, you know. We gotta move to Texas and start a comedy mothership. I think that's the move.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you know, man, right now we're recording this on 11/4, election day. Mamdani. Wonder what's going to happen. But I feel like Texas is potentially going to, I think Texas has an election today that could be really not good. There's like, I think they wanted to like propose a bunch of like handmaiden amendments to like take away women's rights or something. I don't know exactly, but like I think there's a lot of horrible shit on the docket over there right now. I don't fucking know, but I don't know. It was great, Kevin. I like being out. I liked you being out here. I feel bad. I felt like I like ran out after we finished recording without talking too much, and I feel guilty about that. And I wish we had more time to hang out because it was really fun. And I feel like you were here for a while, but we didn't do very much. And then you went back. And then I was like, oh, damn, I was totally expecting to like do more things. I mean, we went to the Huntington Library. Did we talk about that?
No, I don't think we really brought that up. No, that was a lot of fun. Fucking, I love doing that.
I don't know what the I just got to start writing stuff down or something. I don't fucking know. But yeah, Huntington Library was great. We saw all the cactuses, and you were sending me Good Place screenshots and Good Place shot there, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, I kept having this vague feeling that like everything we were walking through, because it's this humongous botanical garden. For those of you who don't, yes, it's a library, but like it's
a garden.
How many acres is that? I mean, it's enormous.
It's huge.
I kept walking around going, I've seen these cactuses before, which is a weird like thought process to have of like, I recognize this cactus.
But yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've seen this somewhere. And I kept thinking, okay, well, Star Trek filmed here because it looked exotic or something or whatever. But no, it was the Good Place. Like pretty much every time they were outside, not in front of a building, I think they were shooting there.
God, I wonder what that was like. I wonder where they set up, you know, their trailers and stuff. That's interesting. We got to interview someone from the Good Place.
Yeah.
There you go. 207 acres.
That's
130
huge.
Acre botanical garden. Yeah, I don't know what the fucking acre is. Acres are nonsense. I'm feeling like we did it. Huntington Library was cool. You know, we kind of just looked around. We didn't like go too in depth. We went to see this. There's this Japanese style house that's in the Japanese garden of Huntington Library. It's basically some guy like had a house in Japan. And they basically brought it. They just like took it apart and rebuilt it on Huntington Library. Or they like made like notes and made a replica of it. I don't know. But like when you're going around and reading the boards and stuff, it's basically telling you, yeah, like we brought this house over. This was like an actual house that was over there. And we're going through it. We go through it. We go around the back and we're looking in the garden. And then like behind us, some woman pops up and she's like, oh, you know, it's fine if you want to just keep going along on your own pace, but do you want to hear my spiel about this garden or whatever? And you know, I think we probably weren't very interested, and also we're like, well, what's the harm, you know? And so we're like, sure, what's up? And she was like, well, this is like the garden of like a house or something, and they have like three fences, and it kind of represents that like this yard was almost kind of like the inside of the house, but then out here it's like this is a whole different realm, and there's kind of these three different kind of spaces in this one garden, and it's like that's like how they did it almost. And that's not exactly how she said it, but this is basically the idea is where there's these kind of different spheres of the garden, there's different fences, and they were used differently. But there was not any detail of any sort. Like, you would not hear that and go like, oh, this person is an expert in presenting about this space we're in. It was just like, yeah, you know what it looks like and the vibe it kind of gives off? That is what it is. It is like a back garden.
And then I started getting the giggles a little bit. This is a really sweet woman, and I hope if for some reason she ever hears
No,
this, she
she
doesn't
was
think I'm making
fine. She
fun of
was
her.
fine. No.
But she's like, let me explain to you guys the toilet situation. And
Yeah,
then
okay.
they
So
just walk around.
let me set that up just a real. So we had this conversation we just explained. And then two other ladies came up and she kind of pitches them the same pitch. She's like, "Oh, do you want to hear about the garden?" And then so we start to kind of wander off, and then she's like, "Oh, I could show you the toilet or something." And then we're like, okay, or something. I think the women were not very interested in seeing the toilet, if I recall.
No.
But okay, so that kind of sets up hopefully where you're going with this a little bit.
Yeah, well, she takes the four of us now around the corner to the side of the house, not in the house, which I thought we were going to go to. And then, like, they had cut through the side of the house and then, like, screwed a piece of plexiglass over the hole they cut. And she's explaining how the toilet worked. And I'm looking through the plexiglass. I don't know if maybe where you were standing, you
Well,
saw something different. But there was nothing in that, like in that window. There was nothing there
I
other
would
than some.
correct you a little bit. I would say she didn't explain how the toilet worked.
Okay.
She kind of pointed to that plexiglass window and is like, there's a toilet in there. Now, the family who lived in this house, they would have like used the toilet in that room. And then maybe, I don't know, thrown it out the window or something out into the garden. It was like that's literally what she said. It was something like they would have like
Yeah.
done this and maybe thrown it out. Like no specificity. And yeah, we're looking at like I don't know, there's like maybe a bucket in there, but I don't even think it's like a bucket. It's like a stool. It's not a toilet. It's not even like a squatty potty toilet, or not a squatty potty, but it's not like a squat toilet, you know, where it's more just kind of like a divot in the ground or like a groove that water, you know, it really just looks like a utility closet or something, you know, like with not like anything in there, just like almost just a crawl space or something, like really not a room of the house.
And then she started talking about like the fermenting of the how they use that as fertilizer, and they learned, like, they were so wise to learn to let it ferment first or something. And I think that was sort of where we walked away, because none of it was making sense.
Yeah, because again, like everything she said sounds like something that she's made up. Like if I were an imposter trying to pretend to do the job of a docent at the library. I would have done a better job than that, but I would have basically done the same kind of thing, you know? And the other thing is, I don't know. I think she might have recovered, but you can't use human waste as fertilizer. It's like, I think it's if you're a meat eater or something, but like,
yeah,
like human waste has to be processed in a specific way before it functions as fertilizer, because otherwise it's like poisonous to the plants or something. Like it kills plants. And I mean, there is a way to like process it. Maybe that's the fermentation. I don't know. But when she was talking about this, like, now I don't know that they were using their human waste as fertilizer. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but it definitely, like, it was like a three beat story that every beat was like, there's no reason to believe that this lady is who she says she is. She's so suspicious.
And, but, you know, I appreciated her enthusiasm a lot, but none of it was even like fun facts or anything. It wasn't
right. Like you said, we looked in the window and she was like, and they'd go to the toilet in there. And it's like, yeah, you said that you're going to show me the toilet. All you had to say about the toilet is there's a toilet in there. Holy shit. And not in the toilet. And that was maybe the only notable thing that happened.
The stolen plant.
I talked to, when I was there with my girlfriend, we encountered a stolen plant, and I was telling Kevin some of the stories that I that were happening with my girlfriend when we were there, because my girlfriend, I'm really thankful for her. This has been a good year. Only it has been a good year. It's been a fucking nightmare of a year, but I've had a lot of fun with my girlfriend, and I'm very thankful for that. And I'm thankful for Kevin for doing the podcast and being my friend.
Well, thank you. I'm very thankful just for even the chance to do this stuff with you. And, you know, this has been a crazy journey that I never would have expected.
Yeah. Maybe I should start charging, right, folks? Let's see how thankful he is in dollar terms. All right. But that's probably enough. I'm sorry that there's no show coming out this week, but there is, because you just listened to it. But I'm still sorry. Fucking figure that out, right? All right, Kevin, you want to say goodbye to the nice people?
Goodbye, nice people. Thank you for watching.
Thanks for everything. Thanks for being a supporter. You're my link, folks. Never forget that.
And we appreciate you too.
We do. Wait, the audience or me?
Both.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with that. I appreciate the audience and me too. Man, I'm a fucking prick. All right. Goodbye.